I want to go to Maine, take off all my clothes, and jump into the Poland Spring. And then a couple of months later, have people come to me and say, Ron, this Poland Spring water, lately, it's been extra tasty.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
That's disgusting.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Yeah, hold on tight. Okay. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
So anyway, these two...
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I believe it is, at least.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, yep. A cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. Hi, how are you? Listen to this. I'm scratching my beard. Can you hear that? Never mind. How are you? I'm so concerned about you. Could you move over a little bit? You're sitting on my pants. Thank you. I need more room. I love those movie theater seats now, those big, gigantic movie theater seats where you can fit a family of five in one seat. It's wonderful. It's just wonderful. No longer do I have large, overweight people extending themselves onto my cushion. And I don't mean that as fat shaming. It's just true. If your body extends past the cushion, well, you're kind of too fat to be in public then. You know what I'm saying? I remember. I visited one of my schools. I think it was junior high school. This is like 20 years ago. And I had the occasion to go back into my junior high school, and it was open, and no one stopped me. Because back then, there was no terrorism and stuff. You could just walk right into the school and take your clothes off, and nobody would stop you. And I went to junior high school in Teaneck, New Jersey. Benjamin Franklin Junior High School was the name of the place. And it was grade 7 through 9. And I walked in there, and the school day was pretty much over, just people working in the school office. And I walked in, and I said, hi, I'm Ron. And they said, I'm sorry, we don't know you. And I said, yeah, I went to school here 20 years ago. And I expected them to say, oh, yeah, you. And of course, they don't know who I am. They have thousands of kids every year in there. How would they know who I am? Besides the fact that I'm now very, very famous. So I walked in, I said, this sounds weird, but can I just go down the hall? I remember a classroom that I just remember it in my mind from decades ago. I'd just like to walk in there and just be nostalgic and just stand in that room and make believe I was a junior high school kid way back. And they said, sure, go on, whoever you are. Do you get that urge every once in a while to just thrust yourself back into the past? And walk into situations and walk into physical rooms that you once, it was a part of your life, but you hadn't seen it in such a long time. The immediate reaction is how small it was. I thought the classroom was huge. No, it was a very tiny room. So I walked into the classroom and there it was. And My first glance was toward the front of the room where the chalkboard was. And all of a sudden, I was just there again, and I just threw so many memories. It was like a mind blow. It was just that the mind actually says to you, wow, this is so much fun, so incredible. Then I looked over onto the wall on the left-hand side near the windows, and there was the generic clock that ticked off every second. Tick, tick, tick. I spent years staring at that clock, just watching the seconds tick by. Oh, when is this damn class going to be over? 28 minutes more, 27 minutes more, 26 minutes more, 25 minutes more. I'm surprised that as an adult, I didn't go into a career that had to do with clocks. Fixing clocks, manufacturing clocks, keeping time. There must have been some career that would have been proper for me because of my obsession with watching the clock in these classes. Just watching the clock. I know the teacher was saying stuff, but I didn't hear them. I was just watching the clock. Then I did something that I should have never done because it didn't make me feel good. I walked over to the desk that I sat at. It was a desk that I remembered. It wasn't the same desk. They had replaced the desks a long time ago, but the chairs were the same. The chairs were there. The chairs looked like they were 20 years old. And I pulled the chair out from the desk, and I sat in a chair. And that's when everything started to go downhill. The chair could only accommodate one of my ass cheeks. And that was it. My crack and my other cheek were unsupported. And I felt huge. I felt like Gulliver's Travels, for those of you that are somewhat literarily inclined. I felt like a giant in a small little place, like Mother Hubbard trying to fit her ass in a shoe, which is, by the way, what you're not supposed to do with a shoe. I couldn't fit in the chair, and the seat was hard. There were no cushions, and I said to myself, my God, Ron, what happened to your hard ass? Now it hurts. You've grown. You've grown an entire extra ass cheek over 20 years. You no longer fit in that chair. And that's why I bring up the movie theater thing. There are people that sit next to me in movie theaters that never fit in any chairs. I laugh because I can. I can still fit in one chair. Not in junior high school anymore, but in a movie theater, yeah, that works out fine. I tell you, man, it's an interesting life. I want to talk about something fairly interesting today. First of all, the so-called President Trump, time to put him in jail. Boy, would I love to see that. Boy, would I love to see his little orange face peeking out between those bars. Wow. I would love to see some giant man in the cell with him named Bubba. And Bubba says, hey, excuse me, they call you Donald Trump, I understand. You know, I can grab your pussy anytime I want. Oh, that would be wonderful. That would be wonderful. Right back at you, Donald. Right back at you. Why should Donald Trump be in jail right now? Well, I'll call it treason. I call it treason with a reason. And I'll tell you why. It's something that we all skipped over. We all passively skipped over it, but it was a clue like none other. It was during the campaign when Donald so-called Trump got up in front of all of us on television at a campaign speech. Hillary Clinton's emails were being hacked, And the accusation was that Russia is getting involved in our election by trying to persuade us not to vote for Hillary by leaking emails to the WikiLeaks and the Russians and stuff. And the Russians were hacking in order to tip the election toward Trump because Putin and Trump are lovers. Or at least Trump wants to be like Putin. And I just want to remind you, Mr. Trump, Putin's a dictator. So you kind of worked that out between the two of you. Kind of gave me a clue as to where you want to go, Don. In any event, Donald Trump on the campaign trail actually speaks to Russia, looks into the television camera, says to Russia, keep on hacking Hillary Clinton. Keep on doing it. That was a message to Russia to hack into our systems. That's treason. Treason with a reason. And you're saying, Ron, you're exaggerating what he said. No, this is exactly what he said.
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
Treason with a reason. I'll play it again because I can.
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
Wow. And they did. And I believe the wrong person is in the White House. Now, I think there's good cause for enough people in petition to say we need to do this election all over again, because now we know that Russia influenced the outcome of this election. We need a do-over. And I don't see why not, man, because I believe with Trump's approval rating of only 40%, that means 60% aren't real thrilled right now at all and would love a do-over. So if I can get 60% of the country to write this in a petition, nothing against Trump, can we do a do-over? Now, I don't say that Hillary Clinton should be president. That probably wouldn't be too great. It might be better than what we're going through now, but it wouldn't be great either. I think that you need to have a third person involved here who would win hands down, whoever that may be. It could be Bozo the Clown or Amy Schumer. I don't know. It could be anybody. And I think they'd probably win at this point. Oh, I shouldn't say anybody because that didn't work out this time around. I'm calling for a re-election. And I'm also calling for Trump to be put in jail for promoting a treasonous act. Trump has decided to go after the Justice Department by calling them so-called judges, saying that their decisions are political. He has gone after the intelligence community, the FBI, the CIA, and the other departments by saying that they, because they're starting to go after him, you see, about his candidates' ties with Russia. Now Trump's going after the intelligence community, has even tried to commission within his own White House staff a review of the intelligence community. Trump also has claimed that the media is an enemy to him. In his latest press conference, when Benjamin Netanyahu, and by the way, he has nothing to do with Yahoo, even though his name is Netanyahu. That's nothing to do with it. There was a press conference. Trump only took two questions, and the two questions were from reporters from conservative newspapers and magazines. That was it. He is now choosing only to answer questions at press conferences from media sources that obviously agree with him. This is getting really, really weird now. Trump also is going against the media, calling them all fake news, all losers. He hopes the New York Times shuts down, all this kind of stuff. What you're doing, Donald, in your stupidity is you're invigorating your enemies. The media will now go after you in order to slap you back. So bad choice there. The media always wins. Look what happened to Nixon. They brought him down. I also wouldn't dick with the justice community. They can also be pretty bothered by you. Even though they must do things by the law, they'll make damn sure they do, according to the law against you, Mr. Trump, because you've started to demean them. Now, Trump, you're going after the intelligence community, which is an oxymoron, actually. I mean, Trump, intelligence, what? Not the same sentence, please. Trump is now demeaning the intelligence community and is actually trying to do a probe to find out what leaks go on with them and how inefficient they may be. Donald, you're messing with the exact wrong people now. The intelligence community has got the resources to know every minute you blow your nose, even when you're thinking about Russia. And if you've had any ties with Russia whatsoever, business-wise, etc., they will find out, they will bring you down. And it doesn't have to be just Russia. They will look into your past, they will look into your present, and the intelligence community will show that they are far more intelligent than you. Do not mess with them either. That's why my prediction of Donald Trump, so-called Donald Trump, will be in some type of impeachment exercise hearing by August. That's my prediction. The latest thing he said, which is really, really cute and adorable, he tweeted and then got up in front of the television audience just a couple of days ago and said that the unemployment rate in the United States could be as high as 40%, maybe even 45%. Of course, when you're quoting percentages, it's always accurate to say it's 40, maybe even 45. There's your survey answer. Well, how many people? I don't know, somewhere between 10 and 2 million. I don't know, somewhere in there. I don't know. I am making it up. So what do you think? I'm making it up. 40% unemployment, maybe 45%. To give him the benefit of the doubt, 40% of the people in this country are unemployed. Infants don't work. Infants don't work. Most kids that are 7 years old, not really working just yet. Not just yet. A lot of seniors are retired, not working just yet either. It's a problem. And of course, for those people that are working, they're not all working. That's a lie. The numbers have been inflated. And this country is existing on only 40% of us having jobs. 60% have jobs. 40% do not. The number, Donald, is 4.5. Now, that may not take into account everything, but I don't think it hikes all the way up to 45% from 4.5. Oh, my God. Please, just one picture of you in a jail cell. Please, just a mug shot, please, in color so we can see the orange stuff, the orange jumpsuit, the orange face. Please, please, just one picture, please. Make that my holiday gift for next year, if you would, please, and I'd be very, very appreciative of all of that if we have the time to wait that long. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, how you doing? Welcome to the program. All I want for Christmas is a picture of Donald Trump behind bars. That's all I want. I am the only show that has the balls to play that song when it's not even close to Christmas at all. I got the balls.
Sure, I like a good burger. But for me, sometimes the best part of the burger gets left on the grill. That's why I'm headed to Burger Guy to try their new Big Gristle Deluxe. A full half pound of hand-scraped grill-hardened gristle machine-pressed into a greasy patty and smothered with Burger Guy's signature something like cheese sauce. And for a limited time, it's just $5.99 with a metric ton of fries and keg of soda. Sound good? Yeah, no kidding, huh? Hey, I'll see you at Burger Guy.
For a limited time only at participating Burger Guy restaurants. Please consult with your physician before ingesting reconstituted meat byproducts such as gristle. Burger Guy's something like cheese sauce has not been entirely approved for human consumption by the FDA.
Ron, good morning.
How are you today?
Ron, you are.
Oh, yes, I am.
Ron, good to hear from you.
How are you doing, Neely?
Okay. Just great, man.
Great. Hey, Neely Carter is an author by day. He's like Clark Kent. He's at the Washington Post doing Washington Post stuff. And by night or other times of day, he's an author and an interesting writer of suspense, crime, and that kind of stuff. So, which came first, the chicken or the egg?
Well, I guess I had when I was growing up, I always wanted to write fiction and went into newspapers for a couple of years as a good way to learn how to write sentences. Yeah. And I guess I'm a very slow learner. It just took me about 25 years to get back to what I intended to do.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. I got a job at a newspaper to learn how to write sentences. That's usually they hire people who already know that.
It's harder than it looks.
Yeah, I guess. All right. So this is not your first book. This is not your first rodeo. I mean, the two successful ones previous.
Yeah, no, this is the third in the Sully Carter series. Yeah. He is a troubled reporter in D.C., and his adventures are based on real-life incidents in D.C., including this one.
Yeah, it is. How much of it is... Well, when you say influenced, how deep do we go into influenced?
Well, on current events, of what triggered this book is, in 1998, there was a real-life paranoid schizophrenic named Russell Weston who broke into the Capitol building, or actually just sort of bum-rushed the entrance. Back in the day, before 9/11, you could walk into the Capitol building before you reached any sort of security.
Right.
And he made it past the guard station and nearly to the Speaker of the House's offices. In this book, a paranoid schizophrenic named Terry Waters breaks into the Capitol building, gets much further, and kills many more people, including a congressman from Oklahoma that he kills with a pair of ice picks through the eyes.
Wow, ouch.
And the rest of the book he sent to St. Elizabeth's, the mental hospital in D.C., and the rest of the book is not a whodunit, because we know that from the beginning.
Right.
It's why he did it, and that is the complicated story that is very much fictional and not based on any real-life events.
Had you set out writing the first book to have Sully become a recurring character?
Yeah, I knew when I set out that I had a contract with Viking that was for two books initially, and then this is the third one, that we wanted to develop him.
Wow. Ouch. And how many more in the series?
Nobody knows. as long as I find them interesting and fun to do, and readers do as well, then we'll keep chugging.
Yeah, you know, when I speak to authors that have recurring characters, I find that almost in all situations, that character writes the books for you, literally. They just seem to go, and you create scenarios, and they seem to make their way through them and take you through the story themselves, which sounds a little bit like someone needs therapy, but at the same time, it is actually what does happen, isn't it?
Yeah, no, they really do take on a life of their own. I always kind of like to say that I think that in real life, I would like Sully, but I'm not too sure he would like me.
Right.
because he doesn't like most people. He is an entertaining character, but a little bit of a difficult one. He's a recovering alcoholic, or very much trying to be. He is physically and psychically scarred from his life experiences.
Uh-huh.
His mother was a homicide victim. He was blown up in Bosnia.
Yeah.
His face is sort of a mess of scars. And there you go. That's just what you were talking about. You wind up, that these are very real people. It sounds like I'm talking about somebody that I wrote about one time.
Yeah.
And that's just what it is they do become their own people.
Yeah. In my notes here, it says that there's a relationship with David Berkowitz. Did that filter into the character? And what was that? How did that happen?
I was working on David Berkowitz being the son of Sam, terrorized New York back in the day.
Yeah.
And the most direct overlay in this book is he was best known, and sort of what terrified the country was that he was writing taunting letters to a New York columnist named Jimmy Breslin, big mm-hmm. deal back in the day, mm-hmm. Breslin was. And Breslin would print these letters. And so while police were looking for him, the serial killer was corresponding with the city's most famous columnist. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of what happens in this book. The killer, Terry Waters, is still on the loose, and he begins corresponding and calling into Sully. Mm-hmm. And Berkowitz, my personal tie with him was, I was working on a story about Murderabilia, the trade in ephemera of famous killers or serial killers. Yeah. You know, Charlie Manson, Ed Gein, the basis for Psycho and Silence of the Lambs and so many others. And I had David Berkowitz, and he was very much against this trade, even though people like to collect his stuff. And so I had written him a letter, and he wrote me a very nice letter too back, and we wound up corresponding for a bit.
Wow, that's pretty weird.
Nice guy, granted, but he's, you know, he takes an interesting stance. He's sort of interesting that he has come up for parole several times and turns it down. He does not apply for parole. He is a devout Christian these days, and he says, I do not want the families of the victims that I killed worrying about me being out, and so I'm just going to stay in prison and die in here, and that's just fine with me.
Wow. Well, it's sounds like a fascinating book, and it's it is suspenseful, and it, I suppose it has it on the edge of your chair, especially if you're sitting down.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's Sully goes to find out the background of Terry Waters, who has roots back in Oklahoma,
uh-huh.
but the story is really far from over when he sets out on that.
Yeah.
It's in about the middle part of the book. There's very much a false ending where you think Sully's just doing mop-up duty, and that's actually when it's really just taking off.
Yeah. And interesting how negative characters in society actually, when you write about them and you look deeper into them, that they actually have their actual people in there.
Well, the thing, and I'm glad you picked up on that, because that's an important part of the book and that I have found in my real life of reporting, is that, you know, people who wind up killing other people are usually very troubled themselves.
Right.
And they wind up, they didn't start out that way. And usually they have, most of the time, just very miserable lives.
Yeah, yeah.
From children forward. So as Sully observes at one point in this book, at one point, the killer, Terry Waters, and if you had met him in the morning, he was a victim. You would have felt sorry for him and his life experience.
Right.
And by the end of the day, he's a monster who's terrorizing the nation.
Yeah.
And Sully just says, I don't buy that he made the transition in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And I have found that to be true in my reporting as well.
Yeah, it rarely happens like that. This fascinating book, and it's available right now. It's Only the Hunted Run. He's Neely Tucker, and it's one of those Sully Carter novels that you hear about. Available everywhere, online, and everything, I assume.
Yeah, wherever your really excellent books are sold, that's right where it is.
That's where you'll find it, right top of the pile. Hey, thanks for talking to us today.
Thanks very much for having me on.
Well, let me ask you before we go, is there a website that you have where people can follow your works?
Cleverly titled NeelyTucker.com.
How did you come up with that?
You know, it's one of the mysteries of the creative mind.
Wow.
It just sort of comes to you there in the middle of the night.
pretty incredible. Thanks, Neely.
Yeah. Okay. I hear you, man. Thanks
care.
A lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
Welcome back to the program. How you doing? Good to be with you. You are very special to me. I don't know why. No reason really whatsoever. I put my pants on the same way you do, over my head. What? It's not how? Oh. Okay. Maybe I do that differently, but other than that, do you ever wonder why you sleep on one side of the bed exclusively? Yeah, I don't know either. I noticed that recently. It's funny, I go from these scathing comments about so-called President Trump to which side of the bed do you sleep on? This is very, very odd. I hope you appreciate just how odd this all is. I don't know really too many people that sleep in the middle of the bed. I really don't. You usually pick one side or the other, and they mean something. If you sleep on the, if you're facing the bed, from the foot of the bed, you're facing the bed. If you sleep on the left side, it means that you have a tendency to be a little quirky, fun at parties. You tell jokes to people, but you weed out which jokes you're going to tell. You tend to like bread with your soup. You like Velcro things, not because they're easier, but because it's amazing to you that there is Velcro. When you wrap packages, you tend to put the tape all around the packages as opposed to just the corners. You also brush your teeth in a vertical sweeping motion as opposed to horizontal. You tend to like redheads, or at least brunettes who become redheads or have redhead highlights. You never ask for two eggs because you believe that would be too many. One will always be sufficient for you because in your mind, one's always enough, two is excessive. When you use carpet cleaner, you tend to like the carpet cleaner that has the foam as opposed to just that wet spray stuff. When you go outside, you tend to wear scarves that wrap around your neck so tightly that they encroach upon your chin. Now that's when you sleep on the left side of the bed. If you sleep on the extreme right side of the bed, again, you're at the foot of the bed and you're facing the bed. If you sleep on the right side, you tend to sanitize your hands more than three times a day. When you walk, you always lead with your right foot instead of your left, unless it's Tuesday. When you go to the hardware store, you walk up to the customer service people and actually ask them to help you find something. When you screw in a light bulb, your first inclination is to screw it in the wrong direction, to which you say to yourself, oops, that's the wrong way. Your toilet paper tends to be folded underneath on the roll, so the paper comes from the bottom and not from the top. You eat pizza with a fork if it's a little too hot. Rather than waiting for it to cool and being able to pick up the wedge, you will use a fork because it's still too loose to be picked up entirely without flopping down, getting all over your pants. When you eat a salad, you tend to eat each leaf individually as opposed to your fork picking up a number of leaves at the same time. When you drive, you actually use your rear view mirror more than you do your side mirrors, just because. When you talk to people, there's a tiniest lisp that evolves in your mouth, and drool sometimes has to be held back on purpose. In a liquor store, you will look at every bottle of wine before you choose one because you want to make sure you're getting the best bang for your buck. when you're in a restaurant, you close the menu so that the server will know that you're ready to order, as opposed to having them come over and waiting for them to hurry you along. That's if you sleep on the right side of the bed. If you sleep in the middle, you're just fucked. Excuse my language, I shouldn't say middle. Does that help you at all? You see, I used to be a forensic psychologist, just like Dr. Phil. I don't know what a forensic psychologist is. It's a psychologist that doesn't know what the hell they're doing, so they make up a word to put in front of it to make it sound like they're very important. And by the way, I don't know too many psychologists that are bald. Most of them have a good amount of hair because they make enough money to eat well and to get hair transplants. So I don't get Dr. Phil. On tomorrow's show, by the way, I'm going to do an expose on Dr. Phil. I think he's a very talented, entertaining person to watch on television, but he's also a low-life scum, and I'll explain why tomorrow. That's tomorrow on The Ron Van Dam Show. You don't want to miss it. Actually, you may want to miss it, but don't miss it, because it won't be good if you miss it. I don't know what happened to me. I really don't. I think I ran out of the medication. Actually, I don't really take medication. I mean, I don't want to get personal or anything, but this is kind of it. You know, this is like this. What you see is what you're going to be getting here. There's no alterations of stuff. I do not, I don't smoke pot. I really don't. I did when I was younger, I must admit. 3 years old, I was hooked on that stuff. And the rattle, when I rattled, man, it was like such a high. No, in college, I smoked the pot. And then when the college was over, I continued to smoke the pot. And it was a lot of that. But I was brought up in a generation where the pot was part of it. And then I stopped. I went cold turkey. I just started eating turkey is what I did. And that's all I did. I'm glad I stopped too, because let me tell you something, kids. I don't know how much pot you actually smoke, those of you that are listening. But eventually, no matter what they tell you, it gets to you and it shall destroy you. And I'm living proof of that, because I'm not a rocket scientist now at all. Not in the very least. There's no rocket science going on here. Believe me, you can search my entire home. You won't find a rocket or anything that has to do with science whatsoever. I'm serious. You just won't. We'll be right back after these short words, because it's important for you to listen to this.
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me. Waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me, naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked, I do the work naked, you pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook, where I am naked.
Not a bad idea. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time for today. I'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace. Bye now. Bye.